ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is hour number three.
The Sports Hangover.
Got plenty to get into. Eric Alexander will talk a little LSU football, SEC football, and NFL with him. World champion and national champion are thanks to head coaches Billy Napier, Tim Rebo, Willie Fritz, and Frank Selfo of the Cajuns, Colonels, Wave, and Lions. And again, we're still working on the Jags and Tigers, Grambling and over there. As well, Southern, so trying to do on that. And again, on Wednesdays, since we can't get up there to Louisiana Tech, we have a sports talk show host, right? Me. Sean Fox kind of gives us the take on what's going on there with Tech. And also, Scott Prather will join us on Wednesdays to talk about ESPN 1420. They're the home for Cajun football. So we kind of touch on all the different things as well here, as always. And we did have, of course, the start of something else today, and that is in-person classes for none other than Jordan, our intern. Sir, it's been a while. We haven't chatted with you all day today. Coach Napier has you at 12:45. I was yapping with Frank Selfo at 1:45, your head coach, the Southeastern Lions. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great besides the early walking class I had this morning.
Here we go. You know what? You texted me like at 7-something. I'm talking to Coach Napier. I'm doing my interview with him. What did you text me? Is that what you meant when you said you're walking class? I thought you said you were walking to class. You were doing your walking class.
I was walking to my walking class.
What did you do today in walking class?
We went around the track 4 times walking.
So you walk. You legitimately walk. How is this a class? I legitimately need to know this. How is this? This is a real class.
It's supposed to be kinesiology class.
You walk.
So I have to take one kinesiology.
Yeah. Okay, I need to know. Who was it? I want to go to the tape here. As Sean Payne would say, Saul on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA. Who let Jordan in the dome? Have you been around in or near the Caesars Superdome since around 12:45?
No, nowhere close.
Are you sure?
I mean, I could have been walking so fast that I might have lit a fire because of how fast.
Here we go. You know what?
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
All right, sir, what do we got? We got a lot of news in the NFL world yesterday with quarterbacks. What do we have today? What are you leading off with?
Let's do some NBA news. Let's start off with our guy, J.J. Redick, retiring after 15 seasons in the NBA.
Well, imagine that. I did see just a couple weeks ago, didn't he say he's not showing up for camp, but he's going to wait towards, you know, the mid part of the year to come in and then try to win a championship. He did say that, right? All right, it's making sure. Jay Williams from the morning show on JJ.
I know he was potentially waiting to try to see if that situation that could work out with the Nets, Brooklyn, to come back home to New York. But look, man, God is known for the Dwight Howard era in Orlando, Lob City, and the Clippers, maybe part of one of the best 76ers team they've had in a long time. And he finishes his career in, you know, top 20 in three-pointers made and three-point shooting percentage. I think the volume and the body of work speak for itself. I'm just glad to see him go out on his terms.
His terms. You think he's going out on his terms there, Jordan, or is it that, you know, no one else take him? Wow. What was that?
I guess no one else wants to take him, but I think it's just him wanting to do other things in life, and he's kind of wanting to go into the podcasting business.
Well, that lucrative podcasting business. Sir, what do you have next?
Well, you kind of touched on it. Ben Simmons will not report for opening of the training camp. for your Philadelphia 76ers and intends to never play another game for the franchise. Hasn't spoken to the team since late August.
Isn't that incredible? That's pretty incredible to me. It just honestly is. By the way, he has 4 years, $147 million left on that max deal that, you know, the team that he doesn't want to ever play for again gave him. By the way, here's Jay Williams this morning on this.
I talked to Rich Paul yesterday, and Rich Paul was like, look, we go anywhere but stay in Philly. That speaks volumes about how Ben Simmons sees Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers organization. It speaks for itself about what exists between those two.
It speaks for itself what Ben Simmons is, to be honest with you. That's how I take it. You can call and argue with me, but didn't Joel Embiid, wasn't he like in the MVP running last year, Joel Embiid? Jordan? He was, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Right, so you have an MVP candidate who actually got better. I mean, like, he worked on some things that he was being critiqued and criticized on. It came out last year that the team for 3 years has been trying to get Ben Simmons to work in the offseason with shooting coaches, special coaches, trainers, you name it, and he refused to do it. And yet, I just don't understand. I get Rich Paul calls you Jay Williams, but, man, I don't know. It just kind of, I sit there, I'm like, really? So who's, you? Are you blaming Philly? Like, this guy literally has to be subbed out. Subbed out late in the game. Your starting point guard who has a max deal. Why? Because he can't shoot. Yes, in the NBA, he can't shoot and make free throws. What was that?
And he's afraid just to even attempt to lay up in a clutch situation.
Yes.
Playoff game.
Yeah. Look, here's my thing. And I know we talked about this in the offseason last year during draft time, and we had a caller or two and a media member or two with the Pelicans. I don't know how in the world you're trading for this guy. Like, what, I mean, I understand there's some people, whoa, the Warriors, he's a great passer. I want you to think, though, of the type of person you're bringing in. He doesn't want to work in certain areas. He just doesn't. I mean, that's been documented. And you have a situation where you're playing with an MVP candidate, and apparently you can't make that work. You refuse to talk to your employer, and then you just, I'm not playing for you after they give you a max deal. I'm not touching him. I mean, I guess I'm asking that because I saw two people today tweet, should the Pelicans call the 76ers? Jordan,
no.
Answer that for him.
No. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Please do not set us back any further.
Okay. Wow. Are you ready for Media Day next week, huh? Smoothie King Center. Ready to go.
I am ready. I'm ready to listen to Media Day. I'm ready for Media Day.
Okay. All right. I mean, I just don't get so tired in your walking class next Monday that, you know, you won't be able to make Media Day. So I'm just making sure you're okay. What else you got?
I'll try not.
what else
All
you
right,
got?
Yeah. Sticking with the NBA, the Pelicans, bringing them up, they announced. So, Pelicans fans, if you want to go check that out.
You broke up again. Who are the Pelicans bringing up?
The Pelicans announced the 2021 broadcasting.
Oh, there you go. The broadcast schedule.
Want to go check that out. Yeah.
Are you in the basement?
No, I'm not in the basement.
Where are you?
What are you?
I can't hear you. This communication thing is something else. I can't understand or hear you. Are you outside? Are you like, you know, in the bathroom? You sound a little muffled. I'm just, you know, making sure. I don't know. Maybe you have to go like climb one of the remaining trees that's still around there in your property. Get nice and high, you know, so we can get cell service or something. Oh my gosh. What else you got for us?
I don't know if you saw this earlier in the day, but Archie, colleges that he will be visiting this in a few months: Georgia, Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, and Clemson. Looks like LSU is not on that list. I know we've been kind of talking about some of the Archman could be
going to them. I can't understand a word you're saying. I think you said Georgia, Bama, Clemson, Texas, I think is another school that you said. Is that what you said?
Yeah, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Okay. All right. So Georgia, Bama, Clemson, Texas, Ole Miss. And you're saying no LSU so far on that list. I'll be honest with you. I said this watching the game Saturday when Ole Miss was taking on Tulane. If Lane Kiffin stays there and Matt Corral wins the Heisman this year and they beat Bama in two Saturdays and there is, you know, a chance at a national title, they have a shot. They have a shot. Because that offense is incredible. But you've seen the growth from Corral in just 1 year. Decision-making, maturity, just the way he handles himself and everything. And I've said this to you again. I'm not a hater. I know people say that I hate Ellis. It's not the case. Current managerial situation in place and current situation, that's not where I'm going. That's just not. There are other places you're seeing. Georgia's number 2 in the country right now. Bama 1. I don't know what's going on with Clemson, but historically you've seen good QBs and offenses come there. Ohio State doesn't look like they normally do with Ryan Day. There's been some whispers. If, you know, they don't look as strong this year, it's not out of love and a tie there perhaps. But, you know, Texas with Sarkisian, I guess it's a joint. I don't, Texas. I mean, out of the teams on there, but again, do you want to be in the SEC? It's harder. It's tougher. If that's what you are competition wise, go. If you want to play a tough game a year or so, it's Ohio State. It's Clemson, but Ohio State's not on that list. That's interesting. But I'm not surprised LSU is not. Now that's right now, but it's not on his list.
If you have Jarvis Landry, he was placed on IR with an MCL sprain, so it does not look like he's going to be playing in the foreseeable future. The Browns are kind of in, you know, shambles as of right now.
All right, what about the Browns who has an MCL sprain? I can't understand a word you're saying, so. I think that's what you said. Something about the Browns and an MCL sprain.
Jarvis Landry.
There he goes.
Wide receiver. Yeah.
How about we do this? How about you just text me your top stories next time and I'll just read. Oh, my goodness. I know it's not your fault. I know it's not your fault. I just honestly, I can't understand you. Anyway, we do miss you and we do love you. Jordan the intern, there he goes. Thank you for your efforts. See, we couldn't even get that. Eric Alexander, world champ, national champ for the LSU Tigers. He joins us next on ESPN New Orleans.
This Wave Report is brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse. Located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, Fleet Supply Warehouse is a premier provider of high-quality brand name filters, batteries, and related products for the oil field industry, serving customers throughout South Louisiana. Weather delay kept the game from kicking off on time, and then like the rain in Oxford Saturday night, the Rebel offensive onslaught rained down on the Green Wave.
Corral launches it downfield. He's got Sanders. Another touchdown for Ole Miss. 60.
61-21 the final. Neither team scored in the fourth quarter, and we all got to see why Matt Corral is a Heisman candidate.
And the numbers for Corral tonight, 335 yards passing, 3 touchdowns through the air, 4 on the ground.
Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin on the win.
Well, to believe what I said all week, okay, that's a good team that we played. I bet they go play really well the rest of the year. So, and then to come out and play, you know, so well in the first half, I think 6 touchdowns and really 7 drives besides the last one running out of time. It's pretty cool and really proud of our defense. You're going to win a ton of games. You run 94 plays and 707 yards of offense.
Now, Tulane will finally be back home this weekend as they host UAB at Yulman Saturday night at 7 o'clock. For more on The Wave, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Wave Report has been brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse. Located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, Fleet Supply Warehouse is a premier provider of high-quality brand filters, batteries, and related products for the oil field industry, serving customers throughout South Louisiana.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Oh, big talker, ain't it? the man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
EA underscore Alexander is a way to follow him over on Twitter currently. You can catch him on Saturdays, LSU Game Day Live. And are you dry from the game on Saturday? I saw you guys doing it out there from the PMAC. And you had a little tent over you, though. I mean, but it was pouring, sir.
Yeah, it got a little wet. But by the time 1 o'clock rolled around, it stayed pretty dry for most of the day.
All right, be honest. Did it feel good to see what looked like an LSU football team that probably you guys wanted to see a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it did, Gus. I mean, I was so relieved to finally see the team that, you know, that we knew we had or thought we had. I mean, albeit I know it was MAC competition, but still, LSU had to come out and show that they, you know, that they are who they are, that they could play, and I think they did a good job of that.
And Eric, that's the point. I mean, as you just said, it's MAC competition, but that's the thing. If you want to be a program that's pushing for national titles, pushing Alabama, when you do play teams or games out of conference, you kind of have to look that way. I know it sounds disrespectful, but that's just the reality and the truth, right? You shouldn't have close games or struggling to score, push people around, as you were talking about last week. The physicality aspect, like, that needs to be there and should be there.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go into those games with the right mindset to know that, yeah, you should handily beat these teams, and we hadn't really showed that, you know, we could put everything together and get that done. And I feel like Saturday was the first step in the right direction. I mean, everything was not perfect by any means. Gave up pick six, gave up two touchdowns that on blown coverages again. So that's 21 points right there that, you know, could have easily been prevented. But, you know, still got some things to work on. But I think both defensively and offensively, I think we took some steps in the right direction. I mean, from an offensive standpoint, I think that our tempo was much better this week. We got the ball out of our hands. We took shots. We went deep. Right. You know, and the thing about it is, similar to 2019, like, the receivers were not always wide open, right? I mean, they had defenders on them, but, you know, you put our receivers up against somebody else's, I like our chances of our receivers coming down with the ball. So there were contested throws, and, you know, you just throw it up and give our guys a chance to make the play, and they did on more than one occasion. So that was so good and so refreshing to really see. I mean, defensively, I already mentioned the two busts that they scored touchdowns on.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside of those couple plays, I mean, they were really sound in their run defense. I mean, their tackling was really good, and it seemed like they kind of got their communication under control here and being able to make checks when the offense shifts or motion. So that was really good to see, because they're going to actually really need that good communication going into this Mississippi State game.
Look, we talked about a little bit, obviously, with Max Johnson and some of the other skill position players, and just overall as a team, what you kind of wanted to see on that side of the football. Confidence can be a big thing, right, Eric? And to kind of get that quick start that they did, striking deep, fast. It looked more like the Max that we saw last year, dropping dimes and just overall the offense, right? Getting in and out of the huddle quicker and just things of that nature. I guess that's to be expected. And as you said, it maybe takes time with a first year coordinator. It's easier the more you do it, right? Like riding a bike, the old adage.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely like they got more comfortable in the offense this week. But, I mean, you got to think that when you go tempo, it actually helps. It helps to go fast, because it doesn't allow the defense to be able to do so much movement or moving around and disguising, because they have to be lined up in the defense that they're going to play or get caught out of position because of the pace that the offense is setting. So, you know, going tempo and going fast, it has its advantages, because it doesn't allow the defense to move around and try to trick you with, you know, disguising certain things. So, I mean, you know, I think tempo really helped them this week, and I think it'll help them going forward.
What else did you see on the offensive side of things that kind of give you some sense of, I wouldn't say hope, but just, hey, you can see some progression? Anything in the offensive line play?
I think that the O-line is definitely still a work in progress for sure. And obviously, going tempo helped. Just getting the ball out of Max's hands helped. They had a few more speed sweep runs, outside runs that really helped. Instead of just running your one basic inside zone run, which they ran week one and couldn't really do anything with. So I think I saw a mixture of different runs. I mean, although, I think we only had about 25 yards rushing at halftime, they ended up with a 100-yard rusher with Kiner. So, I mean, I think there definitely was an emphasis on running the ball. I mean, you can't say they took a step back. I mean, obviously, they scored 49 points. So, I think we took a step in the right direction. I mean, I also saw some young receivers really step up as well. I mean, we had three or four freshmen catch balls. I mean, and show that they can handle, playing on this level. I mean, I think Jack Besh, who is listed as a tight end, he's more of a receiver. I mean, I can really see his development and his maturity at such a young age. I think they're going to be really good. I think he's going to has a really bright future at LSU.
Eric, one of the things that really does stink, those injuries. You can't ever plan for it. Andre Anthony picks up the ball, scores a touchdown, and then you find out that later in the game suffers an injury that ends his season. That's a tough loss for the Tigers, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, he was just starting to come along. I mean, his dude came back for his sixth season, his sixth year at LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, to have it end an injury, I mean, it really sucks for him because I think, he certainly was one of the leaders on the defense, and he was certainly going to be a contributor this year. I think gets back Nice last week, had, two and a half sacks. This week picked up a fumble, ran it in for a touchdown. I mean, he was really very active, not only from a statistical standpoint, but I think as far as being a leader on the field. So, I mean, that's a big blow. It's going to be a big blow for that front seven. Now, I mean, I know they have, some young guys, some young talent with Mason Smith and Jaquelin Roy there. And I know BJ Ojulari will probably be ending up taking most of his snaps, but, that's going to be a real big loss for them just from a leadership standpoint. So hopefully they'll be able to overcome it.
LSU, Mississippi State Tigers, a 2.5-point favorite. It's in Stark, Vegas. How loud are those cowbells, and how big of an issue you think it's going to be?
Well, definitely will be an issue. Yeah, the cowbells will definitely be an issue, but but there's always something you'll have to overcome when playing on the road.
Okay.
I think that. Going tempo on offense will certainly help. Obviously, you're going to have to communicate, non-verbally, silent counts, using hand signals and things like that. I mean, which are things that they should already be doing anyway and have a pretty good handle on. So, it's our first, I guess, true second game on the road, but now it's SEC competition.
Mm-hmm.
So against a team that really had our number last year, so they've been looking at UCLA and they've been looking at their film from last year, and they're going to try to create some mismatches to get the same advantages that they had last year. So it's going to be interesting to see how we come to play defensively.
Just got a question from a buddy, Pedro. He wants to ask you, where is Mike Jones Jr., the Clemson transfer?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I mean, I don't know if it's a not quite fully grasping the playbook issue situation, mm-hmm. or just not being in various you know, many situations where he can be on the field if, you know, he came over from Clemson playing that almost that nickel star position.
Right.
And I know he wanted to try to make the transition to inside linebacker. Honestly, I mean, you go back to last game, I think our inside linebackers did a good job. I mean, okay. Baskerville and Damone Clark and Bug, I mean, they did a hell of a job in there tackling and filling gap responsibilities. So, I mean, there may just not be a spot for him on the inside. And then I don't think the personnel has just been to LSU's advantage to have him playing outside, to playing star or playing the nickelback position when you got, you know, you got nickels. You got DBs who you can put in there in, you know, most of those passing situations. Now you go back to last game. I mean, Central Michigan, they were behind the eight ball for most of the game. So, I mean, they weren't really running. They had to throw the ball. So I think from a personnel standpoint, they just would rather have a DB in there than a linebacker playing nickel.
Good point. Let's take a quick look at the SEC. Speaking with Eric Alexander, part of LSU Game Day Live on Saturdays over on CST at @EA_Alexander on Twitter. I'm going to need seatbelts to keep Ken Hamlin and Ken Sterner in their chairs in studio this Saturday. A&M in Arkansas, number 7 versus number 16, the Hogs. What do you feel about this game, man? It's an interesting one, right? Because A&M had a lot of high hopes, expectations. Jimbo kind of cracking at Nick Saban. I'm coming. You got to come to my place and this and that. But the Hogs are playing physical, too. This would be a massive win for Arkansas.
Yeah, it would, right? I mean, they already have one of those good wins that, you know, you make a plaque for already this year. So why not go ahead and beat another Texas school, you know, this year? Huge game. I think all the momentum right now, I mean, you would have to say is with Arkansas. Their style of play, their physical style of play, and then, you know, they're going to be in the right positions on defense and not lose the game that way. Jimbo's going to have his hands full, I mean, to try to you know, get a hold of Arkansas's running attack, you know, against mm-hmm. Texas. They had over 333 yards rushing, but then no runner had over 100 yards. So it just shows you that they spread the ball around and a lot of people could do it. So you never know who's going to beat you. All of them can in a way, right? So, yeah, A&M's going to have their hands full this weekend.
Alabama's number 1, Georgia's number 2. The Tide hosting Southern Miss, my poor Golden Eagles. It'll be a massacre. Then Georgia's at Vandy. When you look at those two teams, man, 1 and 2, do you see much separation?
That's difficult to say. It really is. I mean, you know that from what Georgia did to Clemson, you know their defense pretty good, but then Clemson struggled last week, whoever they played to score, you know, to on offense. So, I would think from a personnel standpoint, like kids that you got playing for you, it's probably not that much different. I think they're both probably two well coached ball clubs. I don't think it's that much that separates 1 and 2 right now. Except, you know, one mm-hmm. of them's coached by Nick Saban, another one's coached by Kirby Smart. I think that's probably the biggest difference. And honestly, right now, that may not be too so much of a difference because they're both two very talented coaches who do great jobs with their staff.
Missouri at Boston College. Georgia State takes on LSU's next opponent, the Auburn Tigers, over in the Plains. Tennessee, Florida's an interesting matchup. The Vols 2-1. Florida coming off of a game they felt they should have won or maybe could have won. Do you think Tennessee could pick them off, or do you think it's a rebound game for the Gators?
It just kind of depends. I mean, I think that was a tough kind of emotional loss last week to Bama. Hopefully they, you know, shook that off and just moved on to Tennessee and not looking in the past. Because if they do that, I mean, I don't think Tennessee really has a chance in this game. I think Florida against Bama, I think they really leaned on their running game. They were able to run the ball, you know, effectively enough against against Bama to make a difference, to keep them in the game. So I think they learned a lot about themselves last week against Alabama. So it'll be interesting to see if you know, they can keep that momentum going and finish out this year. But I don't think, honestly, realistically, I don't think Tennessee has a chance in the game.
Kentucky and South Carolina, the other SEC matchup later on ESPN2. All right, Mr. Alexander, LSU, SEC play begins against the Bulldogs. How do you see it, win or loss?
I tell you what, if offensively we come out like we did last week, I mean, I definitely like our chances more than if we would have came out flat, you know. So I got to go with the home team. I think we have enough athletes. If we can just stay sound on defense and not give up any bust or big plays, I think we'll be okay. I think we'll come out on top.
EA underscore Alexander to win a follow on Twitter. Catch him Saturday morning over on LSU Game Day Live over on CST. Thanks, Eric. We'll talk again next Tuesday, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Gus. I appreciate it.
For sure, man. Always a pleasure. Quick break. We come back. Matt Moscone, after further review, is 27 minutes away. Got two segments left. Phone lines open on ESPN New Orleans.
Surprised?
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
Rouse's Markets and their amazing team members have been helping our Bayou friends and neighbors and communities all over South Louisiana with food, water, ice, and donations since Hurricane Ida hit. Even as some of those Rouse's Markets team members are putting their own lives back together, they are taking care of our communities, because that is what Rouse's Markets does every single day. Neighbors helping neighbors. Just one more reason that Rouse's Markets feels like home.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home strong.
Try out the SiriusXM app free for 1 month and amp up your summer. Plug into over 350 channels packed with ad-free music, plus comedy, news, talk, Howard Stern, live sports, and more. Create personalized Pandora stations and dive into the best collection of podcasts curated just for you. So check out all the great entertainment we have to offer for free on the SiriusXM app.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Did I butcher it? Did I mess it up? EA underscore LSU Tiger. It's the way to follow Eric Alexander on Twitter. Why can I say that without butchering it? He just texted me. EA underscore LSU Tigers. So a statement has been released from the LSED and ASM Global. That's the folks that manage and run the Caesars Superdome on the fire. In case you have no idea what I'm talking about, earlier this morning around 12:45, smoke was seen billowing and you could see flames off of what I didn't even know this was what it's called. I was saying, you know, the roof where that lip is, there was a fire. So statement is, this afternoon a fire occurred on the exterior of the Caesars Superdome in the gutter tub of the roof. So there you go, buddy. That part of the dome, that's what it's called. The gutter tub. Didn't know that. Makes sense, though. That's, I call it the lip of the dome, but it's the gutter tub. Anyway, the NOFD and venue first responders were dispatched immediately and extinguished the fire. Upon further investigation, it appears, get this, that a pressure washer being used to clean the roof caught fire. Damage is still being assessed. As I said, you can look at it through video and photos of people driving by, including Todd Graffinini, Voice of the Pels, or Fox 8 had their traffic camera and weather cam on it. You could see it clear as day. There's soot. There's definitely, you know, signs of a fire on there. Now, what was the damage? Saints take on the Giants in two weekends. It's not this Sunday. It's next Sunday. Got to imagine if there's any damage to be taken care of by then. But as I mentioned at the time that it was on fire, you saw people on the dome. So they were pressure washing it, cleaning it, and then eventually going to put Caesar's Superdome on there. So, but ain't that something? I don't know. Has anyone ever had a pressure washer catch fire? Is it get too hot, overuse? The oil and gas kind of combust there? I don't know. It's interesting. Lee, thanks for calling us here on the Sports Hangover. Sir, what do you have today?
Hey, Gus, I just want to take this opportunity to apologize to the Who Dat Nation.
Okay.
Because Shelly and I decided that we was going to go drive up from Atlanta to the game in Charlotte on Sunday with our lucky socks on. And I just think we may be El Gato Negro the entire team. Because I don't know what happened, but they didn't show up. I understand that eight players are out. I get it. I understand seven coaches was out. I get it. But, I mean, put something on the field that we can, like, build on? I don't know, Gus. I looked at the game, man. I was like, this is the exact opposite of what we did to Green Bay. It looked like, you know, the roles were reversed. And it was like that around the league, if you want to know the truth. I mean, a lot of teams that looked really strong the first weekend, then
right.
not so much the second weekend. I don't know. But I think the same, a lot of it was communication, you know. I think that was, you know, that they said that's 9/10 when you're playing football and only 1/10 is physical. So I'm guessing that if they're not communicating, we have no shot. But hopefully everything – the good news is everything we saw was fixable. You know, that was the first game that Shelly ever been to.
Right.
Unfortunately, it was away and it wasn't in the Superdome. But, hey, it is what it is, man. We still had a blast, though. We enjoyed ourselves, you know, ribbing with the Panther fans. And I'm like, they were all excited. And I said, guys, y'all only was able to do this three out there last 11 times. So
they made me go on a show this morning. Chris McClain hosted the Back Attack. They made me go on in a show this morning, 8 a.m. They wanted to know why I kept referring to his appearance yesterday on our show as beating the JV team. I'm like, well, what do you call not having eight coaches? What do you call not literally having Marcus Davenport, not having, you know, Quan Alexander, CD Deuce. I mean, I could go on and on just on the defensive side of things. Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, you played the JV team. I mean, you did. I don't know what to tell you. You had no starting center, no kicker. Like, you played this. Yeah. You played the JV team. Congrats. You know, it is what it was. But I was surprised because it was such a strike difference of what we saw in week one. In terms of the communications on the O-line, like, I could have understood and saw Lee. Zach Bond struggling to cover McCaffrey. I could have picking on, I could have seen them just having a 7-on-7 camp on the middle of the field and no pass rush. I could see that. What I didn't see was literally the offensive line and quarterback unable to communicate with one another as to where the pressures were coming. That was surprising to me.
Right. But, and I was telling a Panther fan that was sitting next to me, you know, who's feeling really good about his team and excited and everything. I said, hey, guys, I mean, look, it's great, man. You guys are 2-0. Now do something with it. This is just one game. I said, when our horses return in week 7, the entire league's going to be put back on notice. Because after week 1, we put everybody on notice, but that when the injury report came out on Tuesday, and I saw the injury report, I was like, well, that's half the team that didn't play that played against Green Bay won't be playing for the next 4 or 5 weeks. So I told him, I said, well, hey, hopefully we'll weather the storm and maybe end up 4-3 or 3-4 by week 8 or week 7 or whatever it is. But as long as we're somewhere around 500, we're going to make a run when our horses get back. So I just told him, we'll see y'all on week 17. I said, keep the same energy come week 17. Let's see if y'all still playing for something. Yeah. Let's see if the Saints still playing for something. And we'll see you in the dome. That's all you can see after a performance like that, you know?
No doubt. I want to ask you something because Larry Holder just tweeted something that's funny. Are you in Orleans Parish or Jefferson Parish?
I'm in Jefferson Parish.
Yes. Okay. All right. So you're not familiar. Okay. Because you're not as familiar as others with the cone or thing. People are deciding, should the city just put two orange cones next to where the burnt spot is on the dome, or should they blue tarp it? I'm voting for the blue tarp. Everyone around here has a blue tarp. There's blue tarps everywhere. I think to kind of reinforce for the next TV game what this area is going through and the other parishes, the Bayou parishes, the river parishes, I think they should blue tarp where the burnt area is more than just two orange construction cones, which the city of Orleans tends to do when there's potholes and it never get fixed. Here's an orange cone. What do you think?
Right. Blue tarp. Put me down.
I'm blue tarp. There we go. Absolutely. I like it.
Absolutely.
I'm going blue tarp.
All right, Gus. Hey, I'll try to call you on Friday. We're coming back Friday. There's going to be a lot of work to do this weekend to get the place ready and stuff. But hopefully, my floors and my ceiling is done so we can move back in. So, I want everybody. I'll just tell everybody down there. I send my best. I want everybody to keep working. We're going to get back. We're going to pick ourselves up, and we're going to get through all of this and everything. But when I come back, I'm going to roll my sleeves up and get everything ready to roll, man. And hopefully the Saints do the same, man. And we'll be fine week 7. Week 7, we should be about 4-3, hopefully, or 3-3 or whatever. I know we got a bye coming, but hopefully we'll run somewhere around 500, and then we can make a run.
Like I said, Ed, survive. Just somehow, some way, please, just get through the bye week. And if you can, 3-2 would be fantastic. I mean, I have them at 2-3. Because think of this, Lee, the amount of players that are coming back. I mean, on Yamada from suspension, Michael Thomas has got to be around the corner after the bye week, a week or two later, right? You're talking about, obviously, you'll have Marcus Davenport, Quan Alexander obviously back, hopefully. You'll have Marshawn Lattimore healthy or healthier than what they are. McCoy will be back. I mean, you're essentially, Michael Thomas, I mean, you're essentially getting an entire team. I mean, it's incredible you think about it. If you can just get to that Buccaneer game, right? Because you got Seattle after the bye week, but Halloween night. Against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or Halloween afternoon, it's a 3:25 kickoff here in the Dome. If you could just have your team ready for Tom Brady, I'm in. I'd love to see that actually happen, you know?
Absolutely, Doug. Yeah, man. And that's what I was explaining to them. Like, guys, man, we don't have – the guys y'all are playing, y'all playing reserve. Y'all playing guys from off the practice squad right now. That we're backing up. I mean, those guys are all eight starters. They're starters for a reason. If you guys had eight starters on the field, eight starters off the field, you wouldn't win either. So, I mean, I wasn't making excuses for the Saints. He just wondered why they looked so bad from the Green Bay to this week. I said, well, eight guys are missing from that win. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, that eight starters gone, dude. What did you expect? You know, the league got seven coaches missing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Saints can't forfeit the game. They got to show up, dress out, and try to get through it. They can't forfeit, you know. So that's what I was explaining to him. So he was like, you know, it makes a good point. I said, just be ready week 17.
All right. You know? Lee, good to hear from you, man, and I'm happy that we'll eventually see you back around these parts, man. Make your way over here.
All right, Gus, I will, man. I'll come by the studio and see you maybe next week.
I love that, man. Sounds good. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the time, buddy.
All right, Gus.
There he goes. Lee just wanted to get back home and into his own place. Quick break. We come back. Final segment. And we will then hand it over to Matt Moskonen after further review. It's the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Tell me why. And why you
This Black and Gold report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville. 2 days to digest that ugly 26-7 loss at Carolina brings us to Turn the Page Tuesday. So to help us with that, here's running back Alvin Kamara.
It is what it is. It's early in the season. Come off a win last week. That don't matter. We had a game to play this week, and obviously we didn't get the result we wanted. But like you said, the vets on this team, we know what it is. I mean, it's a lot of football to play, but I mean, take responsibility. We got to come out better. We got to be better. We got to, to win. Nobody likes losing.
Here's to hoping we see better offensive line play. Left tackle Tron Armstead.
We're just in a race to improve. From last week to this week, we're just in a race to improve. And that's, you know, a broad amount of things. You know, communication is definitely one of them. But we got a lot of things to get better at. And, you know, as we go and hit the work week, communication is definitely one of them. But we got a ton of things we need to clean up if we want to be as good as we feel like we can be.
And quarterback Jameis Winston with a final pep talk.
Just keep fighting. That's the biggest thing. We're going to put this one behind us. We will get better. We will pick up our tempo. I will get better from a communication standpoint and get more efficient on first and second downs.
The Saints face the Patriots at New England Sunday at noon. NOLA is a 3-point underdog. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville.
Napa know-how.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Oh, wow. Jeff Duncan posting a picture of, if you go to @NOLA Ready over on Twitter, or @Jeff Duncan_, he just posted a picture by the NOFD, that's the New Orleans Fire Department, of what the dome fire looked like. And you can definitely see some soot, some damage. But it has already been said that the game against the Giants will take place and will happen. So that's from WDSU. But you can definitely see the damage and the extent of it. Pretty striking when you take a look at it. Now, one of the things that they have put out, the statement by the folks that run the Caesars Superdome, it was a pressure washer. I'm assuming, again, it's not, you know, your normal pressure washer that we sort of have, maybe a higher grade one that pumps out a lot more. And I don't know if that's the one that you see the firefighter standing next to. You can see it kind of burnt, but it somehow caught fire, maybe overheated, what have you. But it's kind of like in a little well in between where the gutter area is. So it's pretty incredible, sort of, when you look at it. The graph sending me pictures of course, the dome here as well. He drove by. We're going to hear from the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans maybe next week over at Media Days. Going to be busy running around doing different things. But the plan right now is to do the show over there from the Smoothie King Center and speak with head coach Willie Green, a couple of players. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm looking to it again. So many different storylines going into it. The summer league, can it carry over with some of those players? The projected starting five, again, you have two, right, that are returning, and that is the two that basically are your franchise players. So Ingram and Zion, that's it. Everybody else in your starting five is new. This is your starting point guard, Devontae Graham. You'll have a new starting shooting guard, per se. A new big man here as well. So there's a lot of questions to go into, but the first preseason game is October 4th against Minnesota. So it's right around the corner. And then they'll have one preseason game here at home against Orlando on the 6th. The 8th, they're at Chicago. The 11th, they're at Utah. And then following week, it's the opening of the regular season. So the new season is here and already. Let's just say there's no controversy. Again, the Ben Simmons thing is just remarkable to me. 4 years, 147 left on the team. You know, Shamit Dua just tweeted something, and I retweeted and I said this. You wonder if it's going to be an issue at some point in time with the next CBA or not. Anthony Davis, a year and a half. There were a couple of other players that had some time. Mason Ginsburg treated, you know, Damian Lillard has a couple of years left. We'll see what happens with there. But for the most part, players that have kind of either forced their way or left, little more than a year tops max. Ben Simmons has 4 years. He's played 1 year into a max deal that this organization gave him. And most of the times, players tend to leave or want to leave because they feel they're not getting enough help. The organization's not doing enough. They're not committed to winning. I don't know if you can say that about the Sixers and what they've tried to do. Trade for players, bring in Doc Rivers, change head coaches. This has just been an interesting, from the outside looking in, situation. In that you heard last year, whether it was Screaming A, or Janowski, Sham Sharania, all these insiders saying the Sixers have tried. Coach Brown, before he got canned, the year before he got canned, they set up a schedule. They brought him in and said, look, we want you to work with this shot doctor. We want you to work with this coach. And instead, he goes and works with a family member away from the team and doesn't speak to him. Here's my thing. I get you should be happy. And I've always said this. You should be happy. Do what makes you happy. Go where it makes you happy. The thing that I don't understand is this. He's giving him the silent treatment. Like, he's not communicating or speaking. He's letting his agent or somebody else say he's never coming back. He's never playing. I still think there's some semblance of you have to be an adult. You know, the term be a man. Tell someone you don't want to be with them. Tell someone it's time to move on. Tell someone maybe it's best we both part ways. That's not even texting somebody. Hey, we're done. I'm seeing someone else. I mean, really? 5 years, almost 180 million guaranteed, and I don't want to be there. When again, can you blame the organization for the fact that he can't shoot free throws? Well, do a layup in a playoff game. Hey, what, he doesn't like that the heat's on him, or he thinks that it's unfair they're blaming him? You're the starting point guard. You're a max player. There's certain expectations, responsibilities, things you should do or expected to do. I guess it's today's day and age. I don't know. But if a team makes you a franchise player, gives you max money, yeah, the criticism is going to be because you're expected to be one of the people to lead them, to be their best player or one of the others.